Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Dustin Schutte. How we doing, Dustin?
I'm doing great, Jim, because it's basketball season now, and when you cover a 2-7 football team, you look forward to some of the other sports that may be happening in the near future. So I'm doing great. How are you?
and you've got a very good basketball team at Purdue.
Yes, number one in both the AP and coaches poll, so there's a lot of expectations. So we'll see how it goes.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. Highly ranked, big expectations is yep. No guarantee, as we've learned in this football season, especially around Penn State. I'll tell you what, you do also have your Indianapolis Colts. I jinxed them for you this week. I sent you a message early in the game. They're playing the Steelers. Here, that means here in Pennsylvania, it gets broadcast here, the game. I thought, let me watch my buddy Dustin's Colts play. First possession, they just march right down the field. I send you a quick text that I'm watching your team. And then everything went to hell in a handbasket after that, Dustin.
Yeah, you're no longer allowed to watch the games, but that's okay. But what was funny is I was driving because I have to spend this entire week in Indiana. I get to spend the entire week in Indiana. And so I was driving. So I was listening. I have Hulu on my phone. I don't watch the game while I'm driving, Jim. I just listen to the broadcast. And I was very excited to start the game. And then it just got – but they had 6 turnovers and still only lost by a touchdown and had a chance to recover an onside kick and potentially tie it. So I'm not – you can't be too mad. We thought like 8 or 9 wins would be a good season for the Colts this season. They're already to 7 with 8 to play. So I can't be too mad.
You're still in very good position with your Colts. So nothing, you know, the problem is looking at this from my perspective, me jinxing your Colts, it's like any sports team I touch this season, teams should be paying me not to pay attention to them. Okay. The Mets, the Nittany Lions, I touched the Colts for 1 week. Look what happened. So I think I should just go into a cave, not pay attention, and maybe my teams would do better. Let's start here this week, Dustin. It's college football coach crazy season now. Okay. Every week. Last week, I went back, revisited this text sequence between you and I, where we talked about how many more coaches are we going to get fired this week. You set the line at 1.5. Hugh Freeze at Auburn out, so that got us up to 1. I said I would bet the over. I missed out.
You did miss out. But I mean, that wasn't a surprise. And that was kind of a situation, too, where I don't know that it was just the production on the field. Certainly, that's a 90% of the case. But I also think that Hugh Freeze is not – he doesn't garner much sympathy from the fan base because of how he talks and how – I don't want to say treats them, but he kind of acts like they're dumb. That doesn't, especially if you're not winning, that doesn't get you very far, Jim. So I wasn't too surprised to hear the Hugh Freeze news, but I keep coming back to this also. Sometimes I just don't know who are these schools think they're going to hire. I don't know who they think they're going to get to come in and wave a magic wand around. And Auburn's not this, it's not necessarily Auburn, but you have a laundry list now of major schools with openings. And I just don't know who's going to fill those. It seems like a lot of buyout money for a flip of the coin.
And no guarantee that you'll do as well, let alone better. And by the way, I hated the fact that even just a gentleman's wager with nothing at stake, I bet the over I still wanted to win that, and I can't understand how Wisconsin hasn't fired Luke Fickell yet. So I blame Wisconsin for me not winning the over on that bet, Dustin.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think a lot of people are with you in that camp. I legitimately so first of all, their AD is going to look like a buffoon because he was the one that fired Paul Christ. Well, heaven forbid he go 3-3 one season and you fire him midway through the year. You hire Luke Fickell and it's been a disaster. And I think they're legitimately going to wait until next season at this point to see who's going to be available. Cause I don't know who, again, I don't know who they're going to bring in. There are enough like Wisconsin is not a desirable. I shouldn't say not desirable. It is not the most desirable job. I don't know what the resources look like. I will tell you that Wisconsin fans are unique in the fact that they are kind of passionate about their team, but Wisconsin is so far behind this team. Whoops, wrong finger. This team flag right here. They are so far. So like, I don't know that they have the resources, the NIL opportunities to where that's going to be an appealing job. So I think they're going to sit this one out and give Luke Fickell another year. I don't know that I would have said that, but they may be able to pass it off as, look, really tough schedule, injuries. Basically, their entire offensive line has been hurt. The quarterback got hurt. Like, they might be able to pass this off as, we'll give him one more season and then see what's available on the coaching carousel next year.
First of all, for those listening to this podcast, just listening, when Dustin pointed back to the flag on the wall, it was the Green Bay Packers who own Wisconsin. Okay. The state of Wisconsin as far as the fan base. And in dealing with this coaching, this rash of firings that we're seeing across the country, I want to throw a theory at you as to why this is happening, why I believe it. I think this goes back to the 12-team playoff. With four teams, and you almost have Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State locking up three of the four seeds, okay? We had that for the last half decade. The problem became then the level of expectation. And I know you and I have talked about this before. With the 12-team playoff, there's got to be like 8 to 10 Southeast Conference teams who all think they belong in the playoff. In the Big Ten, there's probably 6, 7, 8 teams. So all of a sudden, there's the expectation level. And if you look at the places that have fired coaches, Auburn, Florida, Penn State, these are schools that believe their team belongs in the playoffs. So if they don't play in a season, LSU, those are schools they expect to be in the playoffs, Dustin. And if you reach a point in the season where it becomes pretty evident you're not making a 12-team playoff, it's binary. You're either making the playoffs or you need to fire the coach. What do you think?
No, I think that's a good point. I think that that's incredibly fair. I also think to an extent that Kurt Cignetti has ruined college football, and I say that because it's not his fault. But suddenly, I think all of these fan bases and all of these athletic directors are starting to say, well, if Kurt Cignetti can do it, then why can't we do it? We have better resources than Indiana. We have more money. We have more investment. Well, it's not that simple. Like, Kurt Cignetti is on Nick Saban level, and you just don't get that. And so I certainly understand why, like, again, I think Brian Kelly is in this Hugh Freeze similar situation where it wasn't just about the results on the field. It was also him wearing out his welcome with the fans. Like, it was always an awkward fit, similar to Joe Moorhead going to Mississippi State. That never made sense. That was never going to work. So I think that those things played a factor in it. But I do also think that when people look at what Indiana has done, or even what Kenny Dillingham did at Arizona State last year, people say, ah, well, we are Penn State. We should be in the playoff, not Arizona State. We are LSU. We should be in it every year. And so I think that that's also a factor. And especially when Cignetti's had so much success in such a short period of time, that leaves all these premier programs or higher ed programs scratching their head being like, well, what are we doing wrong? If Indiana can do it, then we certainly can do it. And I think that Indiana found lightning in a bottle. And in this era of college football, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing with college basketball. We've seen two 16 seeds upset a number one seed. Like, when you expand a playoff and you allow more teams in, you're going to see upsets. You're going to see teams, the disbursement of talent, because you don't have to go to one of five programs to win. So there's just a lot of factors involved here that I don't think fans, athletic directors, boosters, donors take into account. But then again, when it comes to college sports, we've all been a little loopy when it comes to wanting our teams to win and what we think it takes to win.
Well, it's an interesting concept here. And I think, Dustin, that difference between success and failure is so close anymore. And watching this Penn State football program closely, you know, as I do, the expectation levels were so high going into the season. The talent level was so high. But that margin between success and failure, it's so small. Now, Penn State had their rear ends handed to them by Ohio State this past weekend. But going into it, four straight losses by one score, where each one of those games, they had the ball in their hands with the ability to win the game late and fail to. You contrast that with, for example, Georgia, I believe, has four one-score wins this season. That the margin between success and failure now, it's so close. Boy, you have to take care of every little item. And one might even argue with Penn State, the loss on a very difficult call being turned over led to a couple more of those, two or even three of those losses in addition. So I don't want to call it an unlucky bounce, but this Penn State team could have one loss as easily as it has five.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if the Penn State grounds crew trims the grass a little bit closer to the dirt, James Franklin might have a job. Penn State might be whatever their record is, 7-1 or 8-1 instead of, I don't know that they would have beat Ohio State, but I mean, it's all the difference in the world. That's, as you said, that's the margin between success and failure.
And you know what? There's one more aspect to all of this that I think creates that success versus failure. But you know what, Dustin? We're approaching the break, so I'm going to give you that answer when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Dustin Schutte. I'm Jim Galante. This is quarter number two of our show, brought to you by our friends at GoPSURV. They have had 15 years of providing RV tailgating in Happy Valley. Guess what? They're changing their name. They are now Blue White RV. Same great team that fans have come to know, but with more lodging and tailgating options than ever. As always, you just show up. Let the experienced staff provide everything needed for a relaxed, hassle-free RV tailgating experience, including tailgate games, fire pits, food, from the pavilion showing all college football games all weekend. They also provide transportation to and from the game. Forget that hassle of parking at the stadium. We were Go PSU RV. Now we are Blue White RV. You want some information and you want to stay at one of the home games still coming up? Just call 800-519-8467. In fact, our buddy Dustin Schutte will be staying there in a few weeks when Nebraska comes to town. Right, Dustin?
That's right. Looking forward to it.
All right, Dustin, when we finished up segment number one, we're talking about this coaching carousel going on, and it's just been crazy. And we're also talking about the success or failure of these coaches. And to me, when I look at these different teams, where there's success, where there's a lack of success, or meeting or not meeting expectations, so much of it, Dustin, it falls on that quarterback. And I know I've said this before, it's not a new revelation, but it feels like this year more than ever, it's at the quarterback position. Penn State, they got a disappointed season from Drew Aller, then replaced him when injured with a very inexperienced Ethan Grunkmeyer, who struggled mightily, not just struggled against Iowa and then Ohio State, but the coaching staff, they handcuffed him, saying, I'm sure they're going to say they're trying to protect him. But the fact is, I think they had the handcuffs on him. When we talk about Indiana, to me, the most outstanding thing that Kurt Cignetti did was he hit on the quarterback back-to-back seasons now, okay? Is there a guarantee he'll do that again next year, okay? Now, you got to trust his judgment. He's picked very well. But, boy, it's kind of a crapshoot when you start to look at the record of five-star recruits coming out of high school at the quarterback position. It's really hit or miss. So unless, you know, Kurt Cignetti has really just found that magic formula to bring in the right quarterbacks and cultivate them, I'm not sure there's even a guarantee there with Kurt Cignetti.
No, there's not. But I would say, look, I think Fernando Mendoza and even Curtis Rourke last season are good at throwing the ball down the field. But similarly to Ohio State, Indiana has good weapons too, where if Fernando Mendoza is struggling, he can get the ball to Elijah Surratt or one of his other receivers, Omar Cooper, and those guys can either go up, like they can throw up jump ball. Those guys are good enough to go up and get it. Or they can turn a, you know, 2-yard screen pass into a 13-yard gain and continually move the chains. So I think that you're correct. Obviously, Kurt Cignetti has hit on the quarterback position. I also think that their offense is dynamic and it's able to get the ball into the hands of the playmakers relatively quickly. And then when they're able to suck in the defense, that's when they're able to go over the top. And we've seen that multiple times. So I think to your point, there is so much dependent on the quarterback. Look at the way Texas started the season. Now, they've had some, and everything was all about Arch Manning, right? And he struggled against Ohio State. He had his issues on the road against Florida. Comes back and they clobber Oklahoma. Like, so much of this has been dependent on quarterback development. And I still think the thing with Penn State in particular at that position is the fact that I think Drew Aller got better from like freshman to sophomore year or sophomore to junior, whatever, but I don't know that he got any, he doesn't look any different to me. He didn't look any different to me this past season. And Penn State has had such trouble developing quarterbacks. I don't know that Trace McSorley got better. He was just incredibly consistent and can move the ball with his feet as well. And that to me was how Penn State thrived. So, yeah, you've got to find that right quarterback. Diego Pavia is a big reason why, obviously, Vanderbilt has been in the college football playoff conversation. Julian Sain at Ohio State, it's just plug and play for them. Bryce Underwood, Jim, he doesn't throw the ball great, but his ability to run the football and provide Michigan with at least some level of option there, I think has propelled them to a 7-2 record. So I think you're pretty accurate in that. You have to have a really good quarterback. And if you don't have a really good quarterback, you better have a darn good scheme to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands pretty quickly and get it to your playmakers.
But you also hit something about with Indiana having playmakers and getting the ball down the field. Let me give you an interesting statistic. Penn State's game against Ohio State, if you saw any of it, they kept throwing the ball east and west because they didn't trust the quarterback to throw it north and south. They had a total of 145 yards passing. Over 100 of those yards were after the catch.
Ooh.
So, and late in the game, there was a freshman who had one reception for 26 yards, and they went down the field with it. Take that one pass away, you're talking about, 120 yards of total off and 100 yards after the catch. And even some of the individual numbers, Devontae Ross had 5 catches for 26 yards, 24 of those yards coming after the catch. Nick Singleton netted 28 yards, 28. Somehow 36 of those yards came after the catch.
That's an incredible stat.
it really is. And if you go up and down the line of receivers, what I'm also doing, and I keep going back and forth here arguing, essentially it's the player, it's the quarterback. But I also wonder how much with the coaches, the play calling, the offensive coordinator. And it's amazing to me. Andy Kotelnicki was a genius last year. This year he's an idiot. I watch them play week after week, and we see, the announcer calling the game seems to know the game better than the coaches on the sideline. A couple weeks ago was Gary Danielson telling, hey, you can't let the quarterback keep beating you with his scrambles. And Nico kept doing it over and over again. And, in this game, again, I don't know if you saw the game itself, Penn State had some success running the ball wide. Well, they're going to keep doing that. They never did it again. So You start wondering, about the coordinators, the coaching staff, and all those things going on. All right, Dustin, let's take a look at what was actually going on the field, the rest of the Big Ten. What? Go ahead.
Can I chime in here real quick? This is not just a Penn State problem. It drives me nuts. So I'm going to give you two examples. And if you've been listening to the show long enough, I cover Purdue. My fiance is a big Nebraska fan. So those were the two games we had on. I watched the Ohio State Penn State game until the third, when it kind of got one-sided, and then I switched off. So Penn State's not the only one that has this problem. When in that Nebraska USC game, they gave the ball to Emmett Johnson on the first play. He picked up of that final drive. I'm sorry, I should give some context here. On the final drive, they're trying to go down, score a touchdown, win the game at home, beat USC, get a ranked win. They're the first play of the drive, they give the ball to Emmett Johnson, and he picks up 11 to 13 yards. Do you think that they gave him the ball the rest of the drive? No, they failed. They gave it to him on 4th and 3. He trips over, but I'm like, why did first down pass, second down pass, third down pass, like dumb. Same thing at Purdue. They bring in Malachi Singleton, who is basically their run package quarterback. And he's done very well this season. He's kind of a bigger quarterback. He can move guys. They ran the same play. Michigan at the end of the game on a 3rd and 3, Michigan sold out on the run with Malachi Singleton in the game, knowing he does not do anything else. Run up the middle, gain of 1 yard. 4th down, you have to go for it. You don't have nothing to lose if you're Purdue. Same freaking play. Well, gosh, can't believe Michigan sold out on the run there. Picks up 1 yard. Midfield. I understand that I don't know X's and O's as well as these people. I don't put in practice. I don't know. I'm not a genius. But there's sometimes when I'm like, it cannot be this difficult. It obviously cannot be this difficult to keep doing this. And I just talking about it, Jim, I'm sorry I'm interrupting you. I want to pound my head on the table because I'm like, what? I will run an offense for like $50,000 and run it into the ground. Anyway.
I'm glad you brought up the Nebraska USC game because I wanted to talk about it. But the points you bring up are a couple. I have the same pet peeves with these coaches. And first of all, and I wish I could remember who said it, but I've repeated it 1,000 times. There is no such thing as a football coaching genius. Okay, this is not, as they say, this is not rocket surgery going on here. Okay, it's not. So to add to it, as I was talking about earlier, you watch now some of these guys who are the color analysts, you know, I mentioned it was Joel Klatt, Penn State, Ohio State. It was Gary Danielson when Penn State was playing UCLA. When they are identifying things early in the game and they're not being paid to coach, they're just being paid to analyze, but they do have backgrounds in football, and I do believe both those guys are pretty good. So I'm watching, you know, Penn State get shredded by a quarterback on broken plays over and over again. I'm sitting in my Barca lounger saying, can't they do something about that? Gary Danielson then says, they should be doing something about that. And then they don't do anything about that. It all the more, you know, it's Gary Danielson confirming, it's Joe Klatt confirming the things that we're seeing sitting in our living rooms watching a game. So, no, these guys do not translate the fact that they're making $8 million a year into the fact that they're geniuses. We'll pick this up, Dustin, right after the break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Dustin has me all riled up. It's now Salty Jim. As we are back, we are returning to the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number three. It's Dustin. I'm Jim. And Dustin, yes, it's Salty Jim. You hit a pet peeve of mine in talking about the coaches. And I want to follow down this coaching line. You said you were watching the USC-Nebraska game. Matt Rhule, I'm not sure. Nebraska is an example of this crazy coaching carousel, right? He came out of the gate as the most popular pick, at least according to the media, for getting the Penn State job, his connection to Penn State, his connection to athletic director Pat Kraft. He was the name everywhere. By the way, just as an aside, I do not think I've run into one Penn State fan who has wanted Matt Rhule to get the job, okay? So then Matt Rhule signs his extension with Nebraska, so the Nebraska fans are celebrating. I'm not quite sure why. I'm giving kudos to Matt Rhule's agent for using leverage. I got a feeling Penn State had no interest in him, but Matt Rhule's agent used that for leverage. Now, a couple days later, you see most Nebraska fans after that loss, why did we sign him to an extension?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. At the same time, here's what I would say as a counter to that. I would say that Nebraska was so bad for so long that as frustrating as that was, they're still in position. They play against, I know they don't have Dylan Raiola, by the way, is hurt for the season. He's done for the year. Yes. So that's going to hinder probably their success. So I should preface this, but you also look at their schedule and they will play UCLA. They'll play Penn State and then they'll play Iowa. There's still a chance that they could go 8-4, and they haven't won 8 games in a long time, Jim. So I think that this is a recalibration of expectations. And like, obviously they're Nebraska. They'd like to be 10 to 11 wins and in the college football playoff conversation. It's just not where the program is right now. And I think that there's a real fear because it didn't work out with Mike Riley. It didn't work out with Scott Frost. It's taken Matt Rhule a couple of years to kind of get things in place to where they're now, I don't know if consistency is the right word, but they won 7 games last year. Now they're at 6, but they're at kind of consistently now going to get to bowl games. I think that there's a fear that if Matt Rhule left, where do they turn? And number two, are they going to have to go back into a rebuilding mode? So I understand why they would be. I don't think you're like excited like Nick Saban signed an extension, but I think you're excited like we don't have to start over again excited.
We're setting the bar low. It's interesting to me. You mentioned the three teams. They've got to play UCLA, Penn State, and Iowa. Is that the 3 games?
Yes.
Did you say? Okay. Now, I don't know what you're going to get at Penn State, okay? And you know I like watching the point spreads. First of all, they're playing UCLA. Have you seen the point spread for that game yet?
I know it opened as on FanDuel. Oh, can I say that?
Yeah,
that's fine. I know on FanDuel it was UCLA 1.5 in favor.
Okay, I saw it at 2.5. So Nebraska is an underdog against UCLA. Now I'll play the game a little bit further. And again, it may depend on how both those teams play this week. If they put out a line right now for Nebraska at Penn State, what do you think the line would be for that game?
I think there's so much at the quarterback. I would probably say Penn State 3.5.
Okay. And is at Iowa or at home?
At Iowa. Yeah. Boy, that's a great question. I think it's at Nebraska, but don't quote me on that.
Okay. But still, Iowa's a pretty good team. We've talked about it. So you mentioned Nebraska potentially finishing 8-4. I'm telling you, there's a chance they finish 6-6.
There is. I agree with that. I think that's why I mentioned the Dylan Raiola injury, because I think they could go 8-4. They could go 6-6. I think if Dylan was playing, they would go 8-4.
So, again, the quarterback and the importance of that position. Just reviewing some of the other games, and tying it into this whole coaching carousel. Minnesota and PJ Fleck, they won 23-20 against Michigan State. There's a guy who, like, now seems to be in that consistent, getting a winning record every year, and it's at Minnesota. How much do you mark him on a curve, and how attractive would he be for one of these teams looking for a new coach?
He would have to be – boy, I don't this is probably going to be crazy talk. I don't know that he's done anything that Glenn Mason or Jerry Kill didn't do at Minnesota. Basically, I have a quote for this, but I can't use it on the air. he has one really, really good season at Minnesota. Now, don't get me wrong. Winning 7-9 games at Minnesota every year is really good for that program. I think he's such a culture fit there, though. Like, at Auburn, out the door. LSU, he's going to get run out. Like, there, I don't know how many programs he could go and use that and it would work. Maybe UCLA. You have to find and this is why I think it's perfect at Minnesota. You would have to find a middle of the road. Wisconsin, because he's at Minnesota, I doubt he would go to Wisconsin, but I think even at Wisconsin, it could work. But I don't think it would work for one of those big time jobs. I just think his personality is too unique, and that row the boat stuff would get really old if you're only winning
really fast games.
Yeah.
Well, also you mentioned like fit. The first team you mentioned was Auburn. I've reached a point that any coach up north should not go to a Southern school and vice versa. There's just a different culture, a different fit. It's why when you hear, you know, Lane Kiffin's name, you hear it for LSU, you hear it for Florida. You don't see that as a fit at Penn State, even though I think he would have a chance of succeeding. But I'm just saying in general, the Southeast Conference coaches should stay in the Southeast Conference.
Yeah, I think so too. And I don't, again, like somebody, this was years ago when Auburn had an opening. I think it was maybe after Malzahn. I don't remember, maybe Brian Harsin. But I had some conversations where there was a push to get PJ Fleck to Auburn. And I was like, oh God, that has a disaster waiting to happen. Just get that name off of your board immediately.
Exactly. All right. Going back to the, I'm looking at the Big Ten results for this past weekend, Dustin. Illinois, big over Rutgers. We're seeing Illinois still a pretty decent team. Rutgers is not, and it stays that way. We mentioned Purdue gave the Wolverines all they could handle. And Indiana, they just keep rolling. Maryland is still Maryland, and Indiana rolled them. Anything else from the Big Ten slate that I missed that caught your eye?
Not really. I will say that the one thing, because the Michigan-Ohio State game, because I think Michigan has Maryland and Northwestern, then Maryland. So I flipped those before they play Ohio State. Michigan could be 9-2 playing for a college football playoff spot if they beat Ohio State. And dear God, could you imagine, Jim, if Ryan Day still can't beat Michigan? And the reason I bring that up is because in that Purdue game, I think you would look at that final score and say, whoa, Michigan kind of struggled with Michigan State, kind of struggled there with Purdue at home. They didn't have Justice Haynes. They didn't have Cole Sullivan, their star linebacker. One of their wide receivers, Donovan McCauley, left the game. Was it Ernest Hausman left the game? Another linebacker left the game. Like, they were depleted in that game. So Purdue was basically playing, if you have 22 starters, offense, defense, Purdue was probably playing 10 second stringers in that game, maybe 8. But point stands that Michigan had to kind of just grind out that win without some of their star players. So I think that it's, and so I don't know how healthy they are. I don't know if they're going to come back, but that's something I will keep an eye on, because Michigan's got a favorable schedule these next 2 weeks, and they have had Ohio State's number the last 4 or 5 years.
To me, the talking about Ohio State playing Michigan late in the year, I can't imagine Ryan Day playing that game close to the vest again. He's got the best wide receivers in the country. This Julian saying, well, first of all, I don't think the offensive line was given enough credit. They gave him all day to throw the ball. But if you've got those kind of receivers, throw the ball. Run, you know, I'm even seeing that against Penn State. You know, it was close at halftime, mostly because of the late turnover by Ohio State. But if I'm Ohio State with that quarterback, those receivers, chuck the ball around. You're going to put up 50 on almost anybody.
Yeah, I agree with you, and everybody else would say, yeah, that's what you need to do. I would say the one thing is, what did we say about James Franklin? Don't play conservative. And what did he always do? Played conservative. So back to your point about these people are not geniuses, I'm not convinced until I see it that he's going to throw the ball around and we'll see something different.
You know what? It's, well, Dustin, you got to remember, you got to establish the run. Got to establish the run, yeah. Dustin.
It's a key thing in college football.
Well, if you have Jeremiah Smith as a receiver, again, I'm going to quote Joel Klatt. He's open when he's not open.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I had not heard that, but that's a great quote.
And I don't know if you, when you get a chance, if you didn't see it, the highlight, a pass was tipped and he makes the one-handed catch right at the goal line for the touchdown. The guy is special. He's probably the best player in the country. And use him, okay? And, oh, by the way, this guy, Carnell Tate, he's not so bad either, Dustin. Did you know that?
I did know that, yeah. Just an embarrassment of riches again for Ohio State. So, if I'm Ohio State, I'd almost fine Ryan Day if you don't use those guys against Michigan. If you lose to Michigan, you can keep your job, but you're going to pay a hefty fine.
I think that's fair. All right, Dustin, that is it for quarter number three. When we come back, I want to talk to you about the national picture as things are starting to take shape a little bit in college football. We'll do that when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Dustin Schutte. It's quarter number four of our show. Dustin, let's finish up strong taking a look at the national picture. I know we talked a bit about Ohio State, Penn State. Is Ohio State the best team in the country?
Oh, boy. They have the best defense in the country. Although Penn State was the first team to score a touchdown in the first half against the Buckeyes this year. That was pretty impressive.
How about it?
Gosh, I'm not convinced the answer's not Indiana. Indiana might be the best team in the country. I think the poll has it correct that those are the two best teams. So we may have to wait until the Big Ten championship to find that out, because Ohio State, I mean, I know they have Michigan at the end of the year, but I think they're going to cruise until that final game. Indiana, their last three opponents, Penn State, Wisconsin, and Purdue. Jim, let me trivia question. You usually give these to me. I'll give one to you. How many Big Ten wins do those three teams have combined?
Let's see. It's Penn State, Purdue, and
Wisconsin.
Would that number be zero?
That number is zero. So I think it's safe to say Indiana's going to go 12-0.
I think it is also. And what's fascinating, you probably saw, did you see the line, the Penn State Indiana line for this week?
I did not see that one, huh?
Okay, you know I got to play the game with you. What do you think it is?
Indiana, they're on the road, 18.5.
You know, it's 14.5, and okay. I am very surprised it wasn't closer to what you said.
Yeah.
I think this Penn State team, they packed it in, you know. I'd like to think that they're looking at this as their last chance to get a meaningful win, you know, beat a team that's ranked number two in the country. But they packed it in. So I'm surprised that it's only 14.5 points. And who would have thunk that we would be talking about that kind of spread with Indiana at the road at, on the road at Penn State. I said we'd look at the national picture. I said Ohio State, Indiana. Based on resume alone, you probably have to say, you know, probably Indiana's win at Oregon may be the most impressive win of between those two teams, and maybe of anybody in the country.
Yeah, I would say so. I think Alabama's win against Georgia is probably up there. But I'm trying to think off the top of my head, and I just went to the top 25. I don't know if there is another win that's quite that impressive. I mean, Miami had two good wins early in the season, but now they've kind of fallen off, right?
Yep.
Louisville beat Miami. They're still at 7-1. Gosh. Yeah, Indiana probably does have the best win. I mean, it's either them or Alabama.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Alabama. I think Alabama's overall resume after week one, after the loss to Florida State, and the typical week one reaction, we all do it. We overreact to one game. It's, okay, here's Alabama. They're back with the pack. Probably their resume since that game, now we got to count that, but since that game, Alabama might have the best resume in the country. I think they're probably the best team in the Southeast Conference.
Yeah, I think so, which is crazy to think that they lost to a bad Florida State team to start the year. But they've really responded nicely. They've gotten things rolling. You know, even their win over Vanderbilt, which I know you kind of look, it's kind of like Indiana, right? Like you look at the jersey and you go, oh, well, how good could that win be? But I think that they probably are. But I'm going through Texas A&M. The win over Notre Dame, it's not the best win in the country, but they beat LSU, clobbered LSU on the road. You could put Texas A&M maybe in that conversation too. It's probably one of those two teams. I don't think Georgia's been overly impressive, especially offensively. Georgia has not been impressive. So Texas A&M and Alabama would be those two. So I would say that those four teams are probably the best four in the country right now.
That's a pretty good call. Ole Miss, looking at the balance of their schedule, they're probably going to finish 11-1.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Here's the thing, though, Jim. Lane Kiffin has had those games where they just don't show up. So, obviously, they'll beat the Citadel this weekend. But you play Florida, who just gave Georgia a game.
That's true.
And then close out the season with – close out Mississippi State, 5-4 on the road. I think you're correct. I think they will go 11-1. But I would not – be surprised if they dropped one of those last two games, just because Lane Kiffin has been known to do that every once in a while.
The couple other interesting national games, Texas beat Vanderbilt. It looked like they were going to blow them out. I didn't see the game, but Vanderbilt put up three touchdowns in the fourth quarter to make that a 3-point game.
Yes, so we were watching that game, and then it was whatever, 24-7 or whatever the score was. I don't remember exactly. Flipped it off, and then on the bottom ticker came across as Texas won by 3 points. It's like, what the hell happened? We just missed a great game. But yeah, we flipped it off as soon because it was blowout city in the first half.
Yes, I was just seeing score updates, and it's like, okay, here's some reality. And, you know, reality coming to Vanderbilt. But to me, that just shows even when they're got blown out, and they may even have scored a late touchdown just to make it look good on the scoreboard. But give them credit for doing that, okay, against, a Texas team and doing it on the road where you're putting up the three touchdown and putting a scare. The other national game, Georgia Tech finally loses, and they lose to NC State. That's unfortunate as far as I'm concerned. I really would have liked to have seen Georgia Tech run the table.
Yeah, that would have been fun. It would have been just like a Vanderbilt or an Indiana, kind of an outlier knocking on the door. But they could still win the ACC and get in there. The ACC is last year's Big 12. It's very interesting. Virginia, I think, will still only has the one loss. Louisville has one loss. Georgia Tech has one loss. It could be a little bit interesting here down the stretch, especially if those maybe they get two bids. But obviously, it's going to be a chase for that championship to get that automatic qualifier. I'm interested in the ACC race because I like chaos, Jim. And that's right now really the only conference that's giving us chaos.
It is, and that makes it fun. And what makes it all the more interesting is, you know, Miami losing to SMU. That's, yeah, again, you know, I guess Miami doing Miami things in losing to SMU. And you get Clemson losing again to Duke.
Clemson is bad. There's no other way to put that. They're just bad this year.
And, you know, I'm here locally watching Penn State be 0-5 in their Big Ten schedule. 0-5. And you're watching what's happening to Clemson. Have you ever seen that kind of performance for teams that had such high expectations going in? Both those teams were popular choices for national championship. And they just both, as you pointed out, Clemson is just bad. Well, I'll tell you what, yeah, Penn State is just bad. Now, I was earlier this week put out a show with Chris Buchanani, local Penn State person, and we were trying to figure out, how did this happen? How did that transpire? I'm looking for, you know, the independent set of eyes that you have. When you see what's happening to Clemson, when you see what's happening to Penn State, how do you explain it?
I don't know if I have a good answer. I think part of it is obviously the lack of development at the quarterback. I think also Penn State, just their wide receivers, it's just a constant issue with them. I also just think that when you, and I don't know what happened between Tom Allen and Penn State. I don't know if he left to go to Clemson. I don't know if he was pushed out so they could get Jim Knowles. I don't know how that transpired. But I also think there might be some, like, go with what works. Last year, Tom Allen worked at Penn State. I think they should have maybe tried a little bit harder to keep him. You just have the level of, like, how many coaches talk about, like, again, I don't want to keep bringing this up, but Kurt Cignetti's staff has been with him. A majority of those guys have been with him since JMU. Like, they don't typically leave for other jobs unless it's a really good or a promotion or something. And I just feel like, Clemson lost both Brett Venables and Tony Elliott to head coaching jobs, and they've kind of gone downhill since then. And I don't know that they've found the right fits. They also, again, they brought in Tom Allen. I don't know how much of a fit that was. And then again, Penn State, how often have they cycled through offensive and defensive coordinators? They were really good when they had Joe Moorhead, Ricky Ronnie, and Brent Pry. And then I don't want to say they've fallen off because they just made the playoff last year, but sometimes it doesn't always work. I think there's just too much. In some cases, I think the head coach's primary job is to be able to hire good coordinators. And I just don't know that that was the case these last couple of years for Penn State and for Clemson.
Well, the Tom Allen fit at Penn State, all our listeners know I'm a huge Manny Diaz fan. I think what he did with the Penn State defense, I think there was a drop-off with Tom Allen. So Penn State fans, you know, had the bar was set very high. My fear with Jim Knowles when he was brought in is the same fear I have with this hiring process for the head coach this year. Is, do you go for the name value as opposed to going to get the right fit? Jim Knowles was the biggest name for defensive coordinator. Are you going to try to hit the home run with the head coach instead of getting the right guy, Dustin?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I would hope Pat Kraft would, and this is again why I say Eli Drinkwitz, Jed Fish, not huge names, but what they've done at their respective programs, what they've done in coaching, a great fit. You can't just go and get the group of five coach who won 12 games. Because it's Luke Fickell, Scott Frost, that stuff didn't work.
Exactly. It's the right guy, not the guy with the longest, biggest name resume. All right, Dustin, that's it for the show. Thank you, Dustin. Thank you all for joining us. Join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.